Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. I appreciate it very much, and I'm very grateful for your friendship as well. Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity here. I guess the older that you get, the more grateful you are for friends and friendships and friends in ministry, and very grateful for your pastor and his faithfulness for all of these years that he's been in ministry and served the Lord, and very grateful for him. I'm glad he's here, and I'm glad you have him as your pastor. I truly am. And he's a good one. He'll take care of you. He'll love you. And he's just, you know, I can say about Brother John so many things, and I'm not going to do it because I'm just not going to do it. But Brother John's just kind. And I love kind people. And kindness goes a long way. And he's just a kind man. And I'm very grateful for him. So turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I stole this water. I don't know if anybody drank it out, but I'm going to drink out of it anyway. So it's all right. I've been there a couple weeks. Okay, that's great. Wonderful. So thought that may have been a fly going down. I don't know, but it's okay. It'll be all right. And I do want to say, because we were here a year ago, or almost a year ago, September, but your building is beautiful, and this is just gorgeous inside. We noticed that as soon as we came in today, but boy, this is just beautiful, and so it's so much brighter, and it's pretty. So as they say down south, this looks purdy, so it's beautiful, and so good job on everything and getting it all. It's just wonderful. So You're all to be commended for that. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading tonight. We'll just read the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. Let's stand, if we could, as we read the scriptures together. The Bible says in verse 1 as we begin, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Time we can come together once again and assemble. Lord, the reading that we just read together, those phrases are so powerful, and what we have in Christ and what you have accomplished for us through salvation, and the hope we have, the security that we have, the assurance, and the heavenly treasure we have because of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for this. And Father, I pray tonight that you would draw our hearts, our minds, God, our whole beings into this, and into this brief moment that we have together, that, Lord, we can truly leave this place with our affection, our thoughts, our ambitions, our desires, passions, our everything directed to you. And that we can truly be, as it says in the scripture, if we're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. And I pray you'd help us tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God flow through us. May he teach us, open our eyes, our understanding to all of this tonight. We need you. So, Lord, please help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As the scripture says in verse 1 that we just read, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." And when I think of above and thinking of heaven, it's the place of the throne of God. As we look up, we think of upward Christ, as it says, as the scripture we read as well, he sitteth on the right hand of God. All of this is above, and the challenge is given for us that we seek those things above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. So I think if we think of direction, It's northward. If you know anything, I'm sure I'm talking to everybody who probably knows this, but if you have a compass and if you have a smartphone, and on my iPhone, I think maybe the Samsungs have them as well. I'm sure they do have compasses. And my iPhone has a compass, and as a compass is for us, it's for our benefit. If we're out and about, we know exactly which direction to go. If you're hiking or out in the wild, you have a compass. You know which direction is always north, and that compass, that needle, is always pointing northward, no matter where you turn. Now, on your phone, if you look at it, don't get your phone out. I wonder if I have a compass. And go look. Just leave it alone, okay? You look at it when you go home. But if you have that, no matter where you go, you have the needle that's pointing which direction you are, but the main needle's always pointing northward, where that north direction is. So it gives you the idea of where you are, which direction you are, and which direction you need to go. And as you think of that, which the direction of life, and there may be some here that are directionally challenged. I don't know if you are. Maybe the north, south, east, west, just something that just doesn't configure in your mind. How many is just a little directionally challenged? Anybody like that here today? Okay, you're honest. Thank the Lord. My wife is a little directionally challenged. But she's, super wise in other areas that I'm not. But I thank the Lord that He's given me a direction. I know where I'm at and kind of idea. And people talk about getting lost in this time, this age of GPSs and cell phones and smartphones. And they say, I got on the highway and I was 4 hours, didn't realize I was on the wrong highway. I'm sorry, but that's just stupid. That's dumb. How does that happen? You got a GPS. They're everywhere, But directions sometimes are difficult for people. And my wife will say, I'll say, we're going to Tennessee. And she'll say, does that go through Michigan? It's just that direction of where you're at and all of that north, south, east, and west. Stories told of a father who was vacationing with his family and came across a large sign that read, road closed, do not enter. How many's come to those before? How many's went through them before? Anyway, the man proceeded around the sign because he was confident it would save some time, and his wife was resistant to this adventure, but there was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. And after a few miles of successful navigation through, he began to boast about his gift of discernment, and his proud smile was quickly replaced with a humble sweat when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks back to the main road. And when they arrived back to the original warning sign, he was greeted by the large letters on the back of that sign. And it said, welcome back, stupid. And we've went off in the wrong direction many times in life. You may be here tonight. You can be sitting in church. You can be here every week. You can be here for every service. But in your heart, you're going the wrong direction. You're living life going the wrong direction. I want to challenge you tonight, and I hope and I think through this passage, it's that compass that God gives us. And I'm so thankful that He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God communicates with us and speaks to us through His Word, through the Word of God, to continuously point us northward, where we need to be living toward. And that every thought, every deed, every choice, every action resembles a northward living. You young people tonight that are here, and I trust you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and if the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells in you, there's truly that evidence of salvation, and you know it, and you know that you're saved. And if you're truly a child of God, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, you belong to God. The Scripture says that we are His workmanship. I'm His product. You are His product, created in Christ Jesus. It's His work, not mine. It's His life, not mine. And as a child of God, every one of us God deserves the right for us to call upon him and look northward and simply say, God, what do you want for my life? Does not God deserve that? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own? You belong to God. He's the one that directs our lives. And God puts us in different places of life and different areas and different purposes and all these things that we have in life that God chooses for us. No matter where you are at this point in life, at least say to God, God, I want to do what you want me to do. What did Paul say the moment that God struck him down on the road to Damascus and it changed his life for that moment? All of Paul's life, Saul, he was living for himself, living for his own ambition. But when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, what was the words out of his mouth? Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not his life. It's the Lord's. Paul made a statement here in the verses we read. If you look at it in verse 4, he reminds these people of Colossae and he says to them in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1. Anybody this way, go there. You're there in Colossians. Just go one book over to Philippians if you would. Philippians 1, a verse that we all know. But look at it in verse 21 because I want you to see the words. It was something that was personal to Paul. And I talked about things being personal to you this morning in Sunday school. And this also must be personal to us. And as it says in verse 21, look at the wording that Paul uses. He says this, for to me. He didn't say for to live as Christ and to die is gain. He says, for to me to live. This is me. I don't know about you, but this is me. For to me to live is Christ. If you were to, in your Bible, just put a, if you underline Christ and imaginatively just block that out and you have a blank, just a line, nothing in it. What would it say about your life right now? For to me to live is fill in the blank. What would it be? What consumes your time? What consumes your finances? What consumes your desires, ambitions, your thoughts, your life? What would go in the blank? May God help us. That Christ goes there. My life is lived for Christ. And Paul reminds me, just makes the statement, whether you are living it or not tonight, Christ is your life. If you're saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he is your life. You are only here because of him. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are only here because of God tonight. And you will never understand the purpose of your life and never understand why you're here until you come to a personal knowledge and salvation and a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But Paul says, Christ, who is our life. I want to tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to just give you three simple truths from this passage that I hope that needle that can point, that does continuously, as the Holy Spirit does through his word, point northward. That no matter where you are on that compass tonight, you may be off over here, you may be over here off, or down here somewhere, wherever you may be, that we can get it back northward. Northward. And Paul put it in these ways tonight in verses 1 through 4, and he says, first of all, if ye then be risen with Christ. And these are just a few reminders to us to kind of reset it, get it back where it needs to be. There's a minnow-like fish in Central America. It's in South America as well, but it's in Central America. And what's unusual about this small little fish is it has these large, big, bulging eyes. And it's called an anableps. That's what it's called. If you look it up, but if you forget that name, you can look it up. But it's called a four-eyed fish. It doesn't have four eyes. It just has two big bulging eyes. And the unique thing about this fish is that it swims on the top of the water. And as it swims across the top of the water, half of its eye is below the water, and the other half is above the water. That's kind of a set of bifocals that it can see everything above, can see all of the dangers, everything above, but it also can see down below as well. It's called a four-eyed fish. And when you look at it, it looks like it has two or four sets of eyes, but it goes across the top. And as we think about that, that view of the upper world and the lower world, that's really how we live. Life has to be lived. Brother John spoke of life this morning a little bit, and the things of life, the cares of life, the burdens of life, and the struggles of life that we all know much about. But if we're not careful, that's all we look at. Not only those burdens and those struggles and all those cares, but we get caught up in the things of this life, the materials part of this life, and things, the tangibles, the elements of this world the Scripture talks about. And we get caught up in this. We get caught up in the rage, and you see it all over the television. You see it all over the world. You see it all over the news. And boy, people are just flocking to everything. People are buying everything and pouring money into so many things and this and that, trying to get the best of this, trying to get the best of this, and trying to get the nicest of this, and living life and racking up debt after debt after debt, then have to keep doing more to get that paid for and this to have this, and trying to get everything there is. It is said that we live in the most of families, of middle class families, are in more debt than they've ever been before, trying to live up to a certain standard of life. And that's all they're living for. I want to remind you tonight that this life is not about things. This life is not about of that which consisteth in it, of what you can attain, of what you can earn, of what you can live for. You have to have a job to earn money. If you don't pay the lights, you don't pay the light bill, what happens? The lights go off. In Nicaragua, you pay the light bill and they still go off. So it really doesn't matter. But here, you don't pay your bill, it's going to go off. You don't pay for the car, they're going to come and get it. You don't pay for the house, they're going to put a notice on it. All you have to live, you have to have a job. But it's an understanding that I hope that the Holy Spirit of God can open your eyes to this, to understand everything God has given you tonight. A job, a family, no matter what that is, God has given it to you to be able to serve Him. We get it all backwards. We have everything we want and need, and if I have time for God, I'll give it to Him. If I have time to serve, I'll give it to Him. I'll try to fit it in to my schedule. We got it all backwards. I hope tonight we can get northward and get this back on track. Three things Paul reminded us. Number one, we're risen with Christ. We alluded to that a little bit this morning regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in this thought of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and understanding that thought, risen with Christ, it's an identification that we have. And it comes down to this: because I'm risen with Christ, it just simply means I'm changed. I'm changed. The gospel has changed us forever. I want to remind you tonight, as believers, as Christians, it's just a simple thing, okay? It's very simple. It's not even profound. It's so simple. But I remind you this again. We are different than the world. Jesus says we live in the world, but be not of the world. We don't need to have the mentality of the world. We don't need to have the things of the world. We don't have to live after all the things that the world offers. No, we're different than the world, okay? We're a different people. We are Christ. We are in Him. We are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And this makes us a different people. We're risen with Christ. Think of the identification that we have in this gospel with Jesus. We have the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Aren't you glad you're saved? And because of the crucifixion, His blood was shed, and we have the forgiveness of sins. Thank the Lord for that. But we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're crucified with Christ. We're identified into that. We're identified into His burial, that the old man is dead. The sins are buried. The old life is buried. Thank the Lord for that. And that third day when the stone was rolled away, all of my past, all of my sins, all of my failures, everything was rolled away with it. And new life was given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, you are risen with Christ. Your life has been changed forever. And if your life has been changed, then the seeking of things of life are going to be different. It's no longer going to be here now. It's going to be above. Seek those things which are above. If you're risen with Christ, you have been changed. A man by the name of George Stott, he was a missionary. But God began to work in his heart later in life. But at the beginning of his life, he was 19 years old, and he had tuberculosis. And as a result of tuberculosis, he had a sore develop on his one leg. And as a result of that, that infection took place, and his leg had to be amputated. And at the age of 19 years old, he laid in a hospital bed and for about 9 months. Until a man came by the name of George Crombie, came by, who would later serve with him on the mission field in China. And he came by his place and talked to him and encouraged him. And George Stott accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and it changed his life forever. But as a result of that, God began to work in his heart, and he came to Hudson Taylor one day, and he shared with Hudson Taylor his heart and what he believed that God was calling him to do. And Hudson Taylor looked at him, and he just simply said, George, can you just answer my question? How do you think, as with one leg, are you going to be a missionary in China? George Stott would go to China, him and his wife, Grace, and they would start churches and open up Bible colleges and orphanages, printing ministries. God used him mightily. For about 28 years, God used him there. But he looked at Hudson Taylor that day, and he just simply said this. He said, well, I don't see any two-legged people going. I'll go. And Hudson Taylor says, all right, you can be a missionary. And he went with one leg. God changed his life forever. And when the Lord changes your life, you begin to understand something. My life is his. No matter where I'm at, no matter who I am, no matter what God, where I'm at the stage of life, I am his. You belong to the Lord tonight. You're risen with Christ. Secondly, Paul reminds them not only of the position, the identification that we have with Jesus Christ, but he says in verse 1 as well, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where Christ sitteth. We're risen with Christ. We're changed. Changed our life. Seek those things which are above. And now he reminds them, Christ, who is your life, he's on the right hand of God. Now, that thought and that truth that he is on the right hand, we go to Hebrews 1, and where Christ sitteth, the Bible says he went and he sat down on the right hand of God. He gives us the idea he finished the work of salvation. He completed it. It was finished. It was done. And he sat on that on the right hand of God. That was that finished work of salvation. But it's also a reminder here to me, not only has my life been changed by the resurrection, I'm risen with Christ, but he is on the right hand of God. That just simply means to me, he's in control. He's in control. He's in control of my life. He's in control of you tonight. He's in control of this world. Let me tell you, this world, it looks like it's pretty messed up, doesn't it? Our country, it's a mess. You look into the world, you look at news, and you think, boy, it's chaotic, confusing. But I want to remind you, Jesus Christ is in control tonight. He's on the throne. And the things of life, as Pastor mentioned this morning, those many times can just throw you for a loop. But we have to be reminded, he's in control. He's in control. About 7 years ago, as we were praying about missions and felt that God was leading us. We were praying about Cambodia, actually, at that time. And I had shared that with Brother John way back then. And we felt God was doing. And we surrendered that to the Lord. So, okay, God, if you want us to go, we're willing to do that. And opportunities had come up. And we were praying about it, excited about it. And so we took a trip there to Cambodia and went to the Philippines and Cambodia, spent some time and saw the work and what we felt that God was doing. And came home and began to move forward with those plans. How do we go about this? Kind of what we were the last year and a half. And when do we tell our church how it's all going to go about, time frame, plans? And that same year in 2014, as we were moving forward with this, I went in to have what I thought was a routine procedure. And as a result of all of that, found out that I had stage 4 cancer. And so the Lord, at that moment of our life, just put us at a pause. And when you're at that stage and moving forward and up into that point, God had worked so many things out. He worked out for us to get there. We met with a man that was involved in ministry in Cambodia. We met with him in January and said, okay, we'll go. We got to visit it. We got to go there. And we prayed about it and thought, okay, how are we going to get all of our family there in a month? So expensive to go there, then Philippines, Cambodia, all of that. And God provided so abundantly. God brought in $10,000 in a month for us to go. And those were just things we saw. Okay, God, man, wow, this is really what God has here. And then life hits. And those moments that just kind of turn you a little bit. And we had to truly remind ourselves over and over and over again from the Word of God, God is in control. He's in control. I can't figure it all out. But through all of that, in God's plan, God's work, God's intervention, by His mercy, His grace, He saw fit to heal me completely of all of that, which I'm so thankful. Learn a lot from it. I trust by God's grace we grew from it, matured from it. I pray that we did. I'm not always the most mature. My wife knows that, but I try to be mature. But I hope we grew through these things and learned some lessons. But here we are today, almost a little over 7 years later, and I cannot even begin to fathom and dream and just praise the Lord for what He's done and for those troubles of life. You never thought in life you would thank the Lord for something like that. But when you understand what God is doing in your life, you may not understand at the moment, but I want to strongly urge you, you may be tonight and thinking, what is this all about? I want to remind you, God has a plan. He is in control. Amen. Don't ever forget that. He's in control of all things, and He's in control of your life. He's on the right hand. He's on the throne. And then we see in verse 4, as we're reminded again, in verse 2, look at it. It says, set your affection on things above. Above. It's that northward. That northward look to Christ, understanding I'm risen with Him. I'm identified with Him. My life's been changed. And it's also that understanding that He is on the right hand. And because He's on the right hand, He's in control of everything. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. He's got a plan in all of this. And then verse 4 reminds us that Christ, who is our life, the one who is your life, He's coming again. He's returning. I don't know when it will be, but He will return. And it could be tonight. It could be this week. But He will return. And it says that Christ, He shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise? We will appear with Him. And notice this last two words, in glory. How many's looking forward to that day? In glory, the return of Jesus Christ. This gives to us our commission. It's a reminder. It sets us back northward to the one who we're risen with. Sets us back northward to understand he's on the right hand in control. Sets us back northward to understand he is returning. And when he left in Acts chapter 1, as he ascended back, as he gave us that commission one last time to his disciples and reminded them after that, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And then as he was leaving, those angels says, why stand ye looking up? He said, this same Jesus who is taken from you will come one day in like manner. Listen, I want to remind you tonight, there's a job for every single one of us here this evening that knows Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that job has to be started if it's not going on tonight. And it must continue. How long? Till Jesus comes. Till he returns. It is our mission. It is our commission that Jesus has given to us. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? This is certainly a challenge for us as Paul gave to the people of Thessalonica. And he starts out in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians verse 1. And as I said this morning, our time is short. It truly is. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have to live. We can't worry about those things. And I want to remind you of this, of a truth, and I think it's biblical, and I know we have to take precautions, and I know we have to have common sense. I understand. And that's something I think we've lost a lot of in the last year, is common sense. Can I hear an amen? Just old-fashioned common sense. And a reminder to you of understanding this. My life, I'm not supposed to go out and run in front of a car and get hit. I know that. But my life is in the hand of God. And when my time comes, that's his plan. Do you understand that? Are we Christians? Are we children of God? Do we know our Heavenly Father? We have a Heavenly Father. He knows. And your life is in his hand. You're not going to get by. And he's going to go like, oh, wow, how did I miss that? It doesn't happen. I was just at a church Wednesday night and went through the prayer list, and a 23-year-old died of COVID. 23 years old. Had some health problems, but 23 years old. We have no idea. My time could come tomorrow. But I want to remind you, our time is short, whether we leave this earth now or Jesus comes back. Time is short. Time is of the essence. And Paul says here in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, and this is what he's talking about, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder. He is coming. And Paul says a few things down verses 2, down to verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall come that wicked. My Bible has a capital W. Does it not in yours? That's a name. It's a name for what we call the Antichrist. False prophet in Revelation. He'll be revealed. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders. And do you understand if Jesus came back tonight, all of this is going to begin to unfold tomorrow? I don't know who this man will be. I would like to find out, wouldn't you? It's curiosity. I'd like to know, maybe we get to heaven. I'd like to go to somebody, Peter maybe. Peter, who is he? You know, we could find out something. It might be already revealed to us when we get there. But verse 10, look at it. This is what he does. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Let me tell you, that's shaping up right now. That's shaping up right now as we speak. Verse 12, that they all might be damned with who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks. This is the challenge Paul gives. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comforts your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. This is the challenge, because Jesus is coming again. One last passage. If you turn to the Gospel of Mark, would you turn there? The Gospel of Mark. As we set our compass, I hope, everything northward tonight. Northward. There may be some adjustments you need to do in your life. Do those. Because simply, three reasons. You're risen with Christ. You're changed. He's on the right hand. He's in control of everything. And he is returning. And he gave us a commission. He gave us a commission. And if you look in verse 29 of Mark chapter 10. I want to direct your attention tonight, as you have, I hope, your faith promise card. I really, again, I mentioned this morning, that you don't pray about this, whether you're to do it or not. That's just a given. This is the will of God for you, because you're sent. Not only here in Johnson City, but you're sent around the world. And through faith promise and the mission ministry of this church, you can accomplish that and fulfill the Great Commission personally by getting involved in this. And then asking God, what would you want me to do? And I want to remind you with this, in this passage in verse 29, and all of this as we read in Colossians coming together, I trust and I hope. In verse 29 it says this, Jesus said this, or Peter said this in verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. In verse 29, Jesus begins to speak, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. And I love this expression because I want to remind you of it. He shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The expression, you shall receive an hundredfold. Hundredfold is an awesome return. Would you not agree with me? That's an awesome return. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel tonight, but I want to remind you of something. You will never, ever outgive God. Ever. God always gives back. We don't do it to get back. But if you understand this concept of giving and missions, it ceases to amaze me what God does through missions and how he supplies needs and how he supplies for missionaries and how he supplies for those just in Nicaragua that are there in the middle of nowhere and nobody knows them, and God provides their need. It's an amazing thing. And what God's people can do, our little church in Greenville, Ohio, not everybody, because not everybody's going to get it. But there were a few in our church that got it. And when they got it, they understood something. You cannot give God, and everything that you give to our missions and the work of God, You may not always see it on this earth, but there is a thing called eternity. Doesn't determine our destination, but there's rewards in heaven. And let me tell you, you can't take anything with you. The only thing you can take with you is another person. You can take your neighbor with you. You can take family members. You can take coworkers. You can take somebody across the world that you never met, but one day you might see them as a result of getting involved in something like this. Because, hey, the heart of God is that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And listen, time is short because there are over 17,470 people groups all over this world. There are 7,400 that have never heard of Jesus Christ. It's almost half, believe it or not, half of our population. We have about over 7 billion now. I think it's 3.2 billion, have never heard of Jesus Christ. They are unreached people groups. Japan is one of the largest. 97% of Japan has never heard the gospel. 97%. Kenya, 20% never heard the gospel. People groups. India. All over. Time is short. And may God use this church to accomplish something great for Him. Get involved in it. Think of eternal rewards. There's the concept of giving. And I know this. Our daughter Valerie caught this and she understood this principle when she was younger. Our kids got involved in Faith Promise Giving at a very early age. And she would start out with $20 and it would go up to 40 and 16. She was, 12, 13. I think, Valerie, you don't even have money for that. We don't even give you any money. We don't even give you an allowance. Where are you going to get it? And she, every time, it was amazing how God provided that money for her every single month, every month. It was always by 20s. You all know him. Brother Stephen Trail came by our church when they were beginning their deputation and came by and we had them in and they heard Valerie play piano, heard her sing. And Brother Trell came to me and he says, I want to do something for Valerie. We've saved up some money from some hallelujah handshakes people have given us. And we've just been praying about how we can give and be a blessing to someone else. And I want to really get Valerie a computer program that she can write music and do her own compositions, that sort of thing, composing. Can I give her this money? And it was $400, and it was all in 20s. And she was able to get that money and to go get that computer program, but it was more than just that. It was something she was able to see. God keeps His promises. And you'll never outgive God. You'll never do that. And we have a big God, and He's able. When you learn that, there's eternity. There's something bigger than yourself. And maybe this will maybe teach you a little bit of it. I don't know. Anybody got a dollar? Anybody have a dollar? You want to give tonight? You want to give a dollar? Just give a dollar. I'm a poor missionary. I'm hungry. Just give me a dollar. Brother John, thank you. Here, wait a minute. Here, you take two. Have a seat. Thank you. I mean, he's got $5 bill. You want to help me with $5? There you go. Thank you, Jared. Here, Jared. There you go. You got it back. See, do you see his face? He gave me that five. He was walking away. He thought I was going to keep it. And then I gave it back. He's like, phew, boy, glad I got that. I thought I was going to lose it. That's the wrong mentality, Jared. You never lose it. How many's got 10? Anybody got a 10? You know, we live in a weird day. Nobody carries cash anymore. They got a $10 bill? Come on, brother, give me a 10. I need help. I'm hungry. My wife's hungry. There, you take those back. You see how God gives? That's how God works. I'm serious. We went to Nicaragua on this last trip. And when we would go missions trips from our church in Greenville, we would raise money for that many times. And people in our church got involved and they gave money because we meet pastors and just, we would just like to help them however we could help them while we were there. And to be able to have that money, just give them $50, give them, that's, you give them $50, that's a, that's a whole month many times for them. And to be able to have that is just rewarding. And but on this trip, it was the first time we went like this where I didn't have my people. I didn't have people to back that up. And so we've got to still do that. I cannot go to visit a pastor. You just can't leave without giving something. And so we thought we'll just do it. And so the Lord blessed, and we gave. Every pastor we met, went to their church, saw their, you see their knees, and you just give them a little bit, and you think, well, I wish I could just give them everything. But the Lord used that. And when we came back home, we visited a church locally, just a good church, been a good friend of mine for years, and support us, we're grateful. And we went to the church on a Wednesday, and the pastor wasn't there, but the laymen were running everything. And the guy who was leading the service, he just simply says, there's an offering plate in the back, and whoever wants to put something in it, we'll give it to the Burdines tonight. And as people left, people gave, I don't know who all gave, but anyway, by the time the night was over, we had almost $1,200. All of that money we gave, God gave it all back. When God sees a channel and a conduit, he'll flow through it. If he sees something he can flow through. Problem is, we stop it up. You ever get a sink stopped up? That's frustrating as all get out. But when God sees something that flows, he'll use it. How many's got a... Did you give me a 20? How many got a 20? 20? $20. I mean, that... My goodness, $20 would 2 years ago fill your car up. It won't now. Oh, brother, thank you for the 20. Thank you for the 20. Here, take 40. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Finale of it all. How many's got 100? Got 100? Anybody got 100? Got 100 tonight? Give to missions, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. No. Get back here. God bless you, man. God bless you. Maybe it met a need. I don't know. We never know what God does through things. God lays things on your heart. You follow him. It may be the wildest thing you ever thought of. But you follow him. And you follow the Holy Spirit of God as he works through his word, as he communicates with you. What is he doing? He's pulling you northward. This is what it's all about. You may be all about this right now. Get it adjusted tonight. You may get, I got a lot of work to do. Get it, do it. We don't have much time we have left. The Lord will return. And I want to remind you as believers, we'll stand before him and we'll give an account. And may God help us to give a good one for him. If you're here, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. Get it settled tonight. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed. How many tonight would say, I need to get some things adjusted. Need to get some priorities back. I need to get it all back northward. That's me tonight. Would you just lift your hand up and say, yes, that's me. I got to get it back northward. Got to get it back. Got to get it back. Yes. Amen. Got to get it back. Father, bless this, we pray, and use it for thy glory, for thy kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Tonight, here's the thought that kept coming back, and that is, God wants us to remember that everything we have is his. Our life is his. There's not one person in this room can live an extra minute that God doesn't want you to live. So that means we ought to give every moment that we have to the service of him. I don't mean that everybody should quit their job and go to study for the ministry and be a pastor, because that's certainly not God's will for everybody. But I do believe that everybody ought to give your life to him for whatever it is that he wants. Nobody can live a little extra time that God doesn't deem that He wants. But not only is our time given to us by God, but our ability is given to us by God. I have no doubt that there's many folks in this room right here that we ought to be serving in some ministry. We have a mind to do certain things. We have an ability to communicate truths. But we're not teaching young people with that ability. We have a tendency, we have a propensity to do something, but we're not doing it. God gives us those talents to use for Him. And not only does He give us our life, not only does He give us our talent, but He also gives us the money that comes through our accounts. Just like everybody's not supposed to give everything or give their life and say, I'm going to go be a preacher. You're not supposed to take all of your account and say, okay, I'm going to dump it all in a mission account somewhere and let the church send it around the world. But we are supposed to remember that everything that comes in our account is God's. And so we are supposed to pay bills, as Brother Dan mentioned. We're supposed to pay house payments and things that you've signed up for. But we're also supposed to give back to Him a portion of what He's given us. Of course, the tithe is the Lord's, the Bible says. But then above that, do something for worldwide missions. If you're here tonight and God has moved upon your heart to remind you that everything you have is His, then we're a blessed group of people. Because the Lord saw fit to minister to your heart where you are. And I trust that we'd be obedient to the Lord in all of these things. Let me ask you, just look this way for a moment. They're going to keep on playing. But I think that everybody in this room realizes that we do have a command to get the gospel around the world. I think all of us realize that. But Dan Burdine brought it out today that until something's specific, it's not personal. And until it's personal, it's really not that important to you. So it's not enough for me as the pastor or you as a member to just say, we ought to do something about the people that don't know the gospel. And then be satisfied when somebody else, a bunch of somebody else's is involved. Now my $5, $10, $100, whatever it is, a week, a month, however you divide up, you say, well, what is that? Well, you probably asked that boy that had the fish and loaves. Because that's what they ask about the disciple that brought it. What's that among so many? So I don't think that I'm so worried about how much. But I think I am concerned about the fact of how many are involved. And so I think everybody in this room, we would say, I believe that we ought to reach the world with the gospel. All that Dan Burdine has been asking you tonight is to look northward enough to realize that not only should you say that here, but it ought to also go all the way to your bank account. And that if it's personally important to you, then it will be specifically important to you. And if it's specifically important to you, then I believe that you'll find the opportunity to give through one of these cards to say, if my family can do this, a teenager, I can do this. I'd love for everybody, the children that are out with Kyle and Anna and Brother Dan, give a little bit. So I'm challenging you tonight to do what he said and make it personal, specific for you, and get our true north bearings on us. Because I think there's a lot of things I've spent money on this week that it will not make me glad in heaven. I don't think I've spent money on anything sinful this week. As far as I know, there's nothing inappropriate that I've bought for I don't know when, I guess. But I think there's a lot of things that in heaven I wish that I'd spent it on something more heavenly than earthly. And may all of us think on those things tonight. Thank you. Maybe seated just for a moment. Thank you, ladies, for playing. It's a joy to have wonderful people like Brother Dan. And so we thank the Lord for him and Miss Janet, his wife, and they've been a blessing to us. And I'm certainly regretting that I didn't have a $100 bill in my pocket when I came tonight, but I'll try to fix that before next time. But thank you, Brother Dan, for the message. Thank you for the blessings of it. And men, I say some of the ushers, why don't you all come in for just a moment? I want you to hear what we're going to do. Brother Scott, why don't you come? We've got something that we want to present to the church here from the deacons and myself, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you.
pastor and deacons recommend that we take on Dan and Janet Burdine, missionaries to Nicaragua, for support for $1,300 per year. This will come from the mission fund, and I make this a motion.
Well, I always usually try to give a little bit of commentary. I've known Brother Dan now as for many, many years. We were in school together, and he's always been faithful to preach the King James Bible. He's always been faithful to be winning souls. He's been faithful to start and pastor churches, and I have no reason to think that that would change when he changes countries. And so somebody that I can wholeheartedly recommend, he'll be involved in teaching and preaching and also in church planting. And it fits in the area. It fits in our mold of what we want to do with our mission money. And then also in the areas that we want to reach with the gospel, of course. And so I recommend, as Scott mentioned, that's our recommendation to you. And I'd like to see if we'd have a second on that tonight. Brother John Young back there. John Young's the one that you gave $20 to. So it worked out well for you. So, all right. We're glad to take Dan on. We get a little bit of this money recouped what he lost tonight on this message. So, all right, Brother John seconds that motion to take the Burdines on, and that would be for, as Brother Scott mentioned, $1,300 a year. And what we do when we take missionaries on, they get $100 a month, and then on Christmas time, then Bert doubles them up, and that gives an extra $100 on that month, obviously for Christmas and things. So that's how we come to the $1,300. So we've got a second on that. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All opposed to taking more? Same sign? All right. Well, motion so carried. Praise the Lord for that. And we have anything else? All right. And that was the only business we had. We need a motion to close the meeting. All right. Daniel Wakefield. Stephen Gallion. Seconds it. All in favor? Say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being in church. Now, as we mentioned, we haven't had most of our guest preachers that spent a lot of time fellowshipping. The Burdines will be back at the table. But we know that everybody's not fellowshipping as much, and we certainly appreciate that. We'll meet with the Sunday school teachers just right here. It'll just take us 5 minutes or so. And so Sunday school teachers, workers, all of those folks that are in the departments, if you come meet with us just for a brief moment, then we'll go over a couple of things, then we'll let you be dismissed after that. So thank you again so much for being in church. Don't forget, sign up for one of these T-shirts. If you'd like one, it'd be a blessing. And then also, ladies, don't forget to buy those books for the Bible study. I challenge you, ladies. It's a wonderful time to get in a book, yes, but then also get to know some other ladies on a different fashion than it is just in normal church services. So, ladies, please make sure that you can make it to those Bible studies. You will not regret it, I'm certain. Thank you for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.